Well, this morning we are privileged to have with us Stephen and Ginger Jordan. We have supported them. Do you remember how many years? Because off the top of my head, I don't remember. Okay, so 15, roughly 15 years that our church has supported their ministry through tsunamis and other events that you shared with us over the years. Please come and continue in updating us on your ministry.
Good morning. All right. Well, we are going to continue sharing about the Philippines, Florida, and you're going to be involved today with my message. So that's also to help you stay awake. So it's not my fault if somebody falls asleep. All right. But I'm going to have Ginger come, and she's going to sing a song here in a minute. It's called A Mother's Prayer. And while she's singing this song, I'm going to leave because I won't stay to watch this video. But this video covers 25 years in the Philippines. And in this video, you're going to see two families. You're going to see the Jordan family and the Agutainan family. You're going to see our children, Rebecca, Abigail, Luke, and Jonathan, as infants, young, toddlers. You're going to see the Agutainans, when we moved in. You're going to see when we first taught our children about Jesus Christ. And when we were teaching them, we were teaching the Agutainans about Jesus Christ. And when our children trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Agutainans were trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior. As our children grew in the Lord, they grew in the Lord. As our children got older, we had to let them go. And as we shared in Sunday school, we've had to let the Agutainans go. So for the last 25 years, we've been raising two different families. And so, but all glory to God for what He has done. And Ginger will come and sing.
Before you close your eyes to sleep, I have a promise still to keep as I hold you in my arms. I pray your little frame grows strong, trust Him till the end. May you trust Him till the end. This world is not as it should be, but the Savior opens eyes to see it's beautiful and true. Oh, may His light fill all you are, and the jewel of wisdom crown your heart. This is my prayer for you.
So that is our prayer for the Augustinians. And we appreciate you praying for them too, for unity, for strength, that they will continue to proclaim God's word and that they will just stand together. As I shared in Sunday school, they are a first generation believers. They have nobody to model for them what it is to be a Christian. And so, I mean, they are still growing, and they still need our prayers. So, but we're moving on. Moving on to Florida. Anybody want to go? Maybe I should ask that in January. All right, let's see here. Let's see, did that move to the next one? No. Oh, sorry, it's my fault. I'm bad. Okay. All right, now what? Well, as we shared in Sunday school, we are going to the homes of Ethnos 360, that is in Sanford, Florida. It is a retirement neighborhood for missionaries who have served the Lord. I didn't mention it in Sunday school, but to move in here, you have to serve at least 25 years with our mission. And but many of these missionaries have served 40, 50 years, served the Lord overseas and here in the States. And so we are moving down there to be their new chaplains. And so we're going to go, we're going to hold their hands, we're going to encourage them, and hopefully see them to the end. And I'll be sharing more about that here towards the end. But that's inside the chapel. Nope, not yet. That's inside the chapel there. And that'll be where we'll spend a lot of our time encouraging the believers. And so as I shared in Sunday school, if you do not receive our newsletters, please sign up. We want to send those directly to you. And also, you receive our blog updates. There's also back there new prayer cards. And so please grab that. And there's other stuff you can grab. There's a magazine from our mission on our table. Please grab it. It's free. But that magazine also talks about the homes of Ethnos 360. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we just thank you that we can gather together because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross and because of our like faith in him alone for our salvation. And Lord, we just pray for this next few minutes as we look into your word briefly, that you would encourage us, and may we get a glimpse of your heart, not just for our salvation, but a glimpse of your heart for our physical and mental needs also while we're here upon this earth. And we pray this now in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this morning I want to talk about the cross. The cross of Jesus. What do we call that Friday before Easter? Good Friday. Was that a good day for Jesus Christ when he was nailed upon that cross? Yes or no? No. Was it a good day for us? Yes. Yeah, I actually don't know why we call it Good Friday. It wasn't good for Jesus, but it was good for the world. And it's good for us, especially, who believe in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. And I hope each of you have done that. And I'll be closing talking more about that. But today, I want to encourage you, and I want you to understand that knowing about Jesus Christ is not the same as knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Do you understand that? We worked in the Philippines with millions. I mean, in the Philippines, there's millions of people there, Filipinos, who know about Jesus Christ. And most of them are going to spend eternity in hell. Knowing Jesus Christ about him is not enough. And here's a couple pictures I want to show you from the Philippines. On Good Friday, men will go around flogging themselves. And then, and this is literally a pit, these are pictures I took. And then when they're done flogging themselves, they will go and kneel and pray in front of a statue of Jesus Christ. And they will say, they will pray and say, I did this for you. But that won't help him. It's not about what he does for Jesus. It's what Jesus has done for us. And that's what this man in this picture doesn't understand. And then one other picture here. When we first moved in among the Augustinians, When we first moved in among the Augustinians into the village of San Nicolas. What's San Nicolas? Anybody have a clue what that is? Or who that is? Santa Claus. Our village was named after Santa Claus, St. Nicholas. Actually, not in my notes here, but about 70 years ago in our village was a massacre. A man killed about 20 people. And the village leaders went to the Catholic Church and said, we need a patron saint to protect us. And from that day forward, our village was called San Nicolas. But that's not what I really want to talk about here. But when we moved into San Nicolas in 2003, we wanted to learn about the people of the village, their names, and their clans. We found out there's only like 5 family groups or clans in our village. But as we would go around, I would take pictures. And I would say, I want your picture, and I want to write down your names and so forth. And so I was visiting this house with, let's go back one slide if we can, visiting these 3 ladies. And after a very pleasant visit, everybody was happy and joyful. I said, can I take your picture? And they said, no. No, you cannot. I was like, I don't know what's happening here. And again, my language was very, very minimal at that time. And so, but then the lady in the yellow there, Nellie, she said, oh, whoa, wait. there's a lady out on the road. We'll call her in. And so they called in this lady, and now there's four, and that's how I was able to get the picture. They were all standing there, and they said, okay, you may take our picture now. I had absolutely no idea what in the world was happening or why I couldn't a minute ago take their picture, but now I can. But after learning their culture, not just their language, but their culture, I discovered why I could not take a picture of the three women. And it goes back to the Bible. When there was just three ladies here, they would not let me take their picture because of a story in the Bible. And that's the story we're talking about today. The cross. How many crosses were there? Three. They know about Jesus Christ. They know about his birth, his life, his ministry, his death. And because of his death, I can't take a picture of three people. The Augustinians believe that if a picture was ever taken of three people, three crosses, that the first one to die is the one, which one? In the middle. When Jesus Christ was on that cross, in the middle, he was the first to die. And that's a story from, that's from God's word. And unfortunately, the story has been twisted to cause fear among the Augustinians. So today, again, I want to say, to know about Jesus is not enough. You must believe in Jesus as your Savior to go to heaven. So today, I want to talk about the seven cries of Jesus upon the cross. And we're just going to be glancing at this, but this is your turn. I've already given you the answer to the first question. How many times did Jesus cry upon the cross? Seven. Give me some of them. What did Jesus say upon the cross? What did he cry? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. What's another cry? That's one. My God, why have you forsaken me? Next.
I thirst.
You want a bottle of water? All right. I thirst. Okay. Another one. That's only three. All right. Jesus looked down and saw his mother, Mary, there and said, Mom, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Another one. Okay, into your hands I commit my spirit. Another one. I think we have four so far. Okay, we are going to be getting into that. But I want to say real quick before we get more into that, Nellie, the lady in the middle of that picture, Nellie said to me about 15 years ago, you speak too much of Mary. I'm sorry, you speak too much of Jesus and not enough about Mary. That's what Nellie said to me. But if it's okay today with you guys, I want to talk about Jesus. Mary was a vessel that God used so that the Savior of the world could be born. And what an honor that was. But today we're not talking about Mary. We're going to talk about Jesus. And so, how many Gospels do we have today? Four. And they are? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Four Gospels. And many times we say, why in the world do we have four Gospels? But as you study, you know that Matthew was written to a certain group, and Luke maybe a different group, and Mark and so forth. There's various reasons on why they wrote those four Gospels. But the seven cries of Jesus, do any one gospel have all seven cries? Do you know? Yes? No? No. If we only had the gospel of Matthew, just supposing we only had the gospel of Matthew, how many of the seven cries did Matthew record? Give me a guess. Any guess? Not three. Not two. One. If we only had the gospel of Matthew, the only thing that we would have recorded that Jesus cried upon that cross was, my God, why have you forsaken me? But let's move on. What if we included Mark? How many did Mark record? Any guesses? Not four, but thank you for guessing. Not two. Not three. One. Mark records that Jesus cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? So if it was just Matthew and Mark, we'd only know of one cry. Luke does include three. But before I say that, again, we have in Matthew and Mark that Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we can never understand the agony that Jesus was experiencing that moment when he cried those words. But each one of us here today can rest in the assurance that, as it is recorded in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So moving on, the Gospel of Luke. You want to guess how many are in Luke? The answer is three. All right, so in the Gospel of Luke, we have, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. And also, Luke records, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And so, that leaves us with one gospel. And so if Matthew, Mark, and Luke records four of the cries, how many do we find in John? Three. The other three, the three that are recorded in John, you will not find in the other three gospels. And so today, open up your Bibles to John 19. John 19, and we're going to read what is recorded here in the Gospel of John. Actually, not quite. All right, John chapter 19. And I will be reading. John 19, I'll be starting in verse 25. I'm going to start at the latter part of verse 25 and read through 30. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. Clopas and Mary Magdalene. In verse 26, when Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. Just stopping and pausing for a moment there. From that hour, some translations might even say from that moment, it is suggested that John did not let Mary see the actual death of Jesus Christ. But back to verse 28 now. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the scripture, said, I am thirsty. A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. And then lastly, verse 30. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, what? It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. So this morning, we see three cries here in the Gospel of John. Why these three? Why not seven? I don't know. But I want to propose something. So I don't know truly if what I'm going to propose could be, it's my opinion, my thought. That's as far as we can go with this. But I want to suggest to you this morning that the three cries we have in John, we see the humanity and the deity of Jesus Christ. He was 100% human, and he was 100% what? God. And so in these three phrases, I want to suggest to you that we see on the cross one man, Jesus Christ, and three sons in that one man. We see the Son of God, the Son of Man, and the Son of Mary in these three cries from the cross. And so let's work with these three cries for a minute and work backwards. I want to start in verse 30. The last thing that John recorded, the last cry that John recorded, it is finished. I want to suggest to you that Jesus, the Son of God, said, it is finished. What is it? Salvation, redemption, victory. Jesus was born to die. That was the work that he was sent to do as the perfect Lamb of, and what's the next word? God. He had no sins. He died for ours. So this morning, I suggest to you that the Son of God said these three words, it is finished. The next one, make sure here. Sorry, I'm a little behind. I'm not moving. Still not moving. No, I went too far. There we go. Sorry. The next one, again, working backwards in verse 28, Jesus cried, I am what? Thirsty. I'm suggesting these are the words of Jesus, the Son of Man. Now, the Son of Man is actually a title of deity. But wasn't Jesus human? Yes. When Jesus said, I am thirsty, do you think he was thirsty? Why? Why would God be thirsty? Because Jesus was human. When the crown of thorns was placed upon his head, did he feel it? Yes. Was there blood dripping down his face? Yes. Did he feel the nails in his hands? Yes. Did he die? Yes. Only a human can die. And so today, I suggest to you with this cry, I am thirsty, that we see the humanity of Jesus Christ as the Son of Man. And then lastly, in verse 26 and 27, we see Jesus, the Son of Mary, who said, who cried, woman, behold your son. And to the disciple, he said, behold your mother. So in these words, I suggest to you, we see Jesus, the son of Mary. Now, I kind of skipped something here. But were all seven of these cries for our salvation? Yes or no? No. When Jesus said, I am thirsty, what did that have to do with me? Nothing. When he looked at Mary and said, woman, behold your son, what did that have to do with me? Nothing. Except for we see the heart of Jesus Christ. Yes, he came to die, but he shows us upon the cross that he wasn't here only to give us eternal life. When he said, woman, behold your son, and to the disciple, behold your mother, he was showing his earthly responsibility as the firstborn son in a Jewish family. Now, a question I would never ask an Augustinian is, did Jesus have other siblings? Did Mary have other children? Yes. Do not ask that question to a Catholic. But the Bible is very clear. James is believed to be the oldest brother after there was Jesus, and then the next brother, male sibling, was James. Why didn't Jesus on the cross say, James, behold your mother? Why not? Two reasons, possible reasons. First one, was James even at the cross when Jesus died? There's no record of James being there. Number two, do we believe James believed in, okay, do we think, is it recorded in Scripture that James believed in Jesus Christ as his own Savior before the death of Jesus Christ? No. And so here we see Jesus is actually entrusting his physical mother to a non-relative, but a believer. And so as Christians today, I want us to see that on that cross, we get a glimpse of his heart, Jesus' heart, for our salvation, but also for our human needs, our physical and our mental needs here upon the earth. We have the book of James. Who do we think wrote the book of James? James. Good answer. A man named James. Now, there's many possibilities, but I do want to propose to you, many do believe it was the half-brother of Jesus Christ. And in James, you see he wrote a verse that said, true religion is this, to visit the orphans and the widows, the fatherless and the widows. When Mary was at the cross, where was Joseph? He wasn't there. Many believe he was also deceased at that time, and Mary was a widow. And I just kind of wonder if James, the half-brother of Jesus, if he truly wrote those words, true religion is this, and when he wrote that word, widows, could he say to himself, I was there for my mom? And if it truly was James, the half-brother, that wrote that, he would have to say, no, I wasn't. But I need to wrap this up. In his hour of agony, Jesus provided for his mother. In the hour that God the Father forsook Jesus, Jesus did not forsake his mother. in these three cries, John shows us that Jesus had a heart of compassion for both the physical and spiritual needs of mankind during his hour of agony. Does Jesus want the world to be saved from the penalty of sin? The answer is yes. But is that all that Jesus cared about upon the cross? The answer is no. And we have recorded in 1 Peter 5:7, Peter says, casting all your cares or all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. Many, many verses we can go through that show in the epistles that yes, God cares for our eternal condition. But there's many verses that talk about physical. But all who believe in Jesus, receive what? What does John 3:16 say? Eternal life. And eternal life is much more than just going to heaven. Is that correct? Generally, we ask people just a simple question. If you were to die today, would you go to heaven? It's a good question. And usually then we get into verses and we say, would you like to have eternal life? All you have to do is believe. But when does that eternal life begin? Does it begin the moment we die? Or the moment we believe? Believe. And again, back to 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your cares on him, for he careth for you. There is so much more than just getting, if I may say it this way, a ticket to heaven. We get to be reconciled, redeemed, brought back into a relationship with God the Father that was broken many, many years ago. God shows his care and compassion for you through his word, through his spirit, and through one other thing, his people. How many of you have gone through a physical struggle, sickness, or a prodigal son, or something else, and a believer came alongside and said, I'm praying for you? Or said, I'm going to be here for you. God uses his people to show love and compassion. And so today, see if that advances there. Again, why are we going to the homes? I shared in Sunday school, I guess I shared it just a few minutes ago, Mary was God's vessel for the Savior of the world to be born. Missionaries are God's vessels for the Savior of the world to be known. And so we are going to the homes because these missionaries who have retired have given their lives to proclaim the gospel message. And now in this hour where they are, some of them are sick, some of them are lonely, some of them are saying, where is God's people? Where are they? We get to go down and to be with them as their new chaplains. And so again, I want to encourage you, take the opportunities to proclaim the gospel message right here in your community, right here in your church. Have activities that bring the people in to share the gospel message. But let's not forget about the physical needs of these people. Many churches have things like food pantries or different ways to reach out to their community to help in physical ways. We need to be about both the physical and the spiritual if we want to have the same heart of Jesus Christ when he was on that cross. And so before I close, two things. I have a slide, so I'll show it. But here is a picture of Jan and Cheryl Bass. They served the Lord for 35 years in the Philippines. and also time here in the States. Jan is a retiree down at the homes. I want to say Jan and Cheryl are retirees down at the homes. But Cheryl went to the emergency room about 3 weeks ago and passed away this past Tuesday. And I'm not there, but this is just one example of what we will be doing down there. When a loved one loses their spouse, we want to be there. We want to encourage them. We don't want to tell Jan about how to go to heaven. We want to tell Jan that God does care for him. And just like your neighbors, we need to be caring for them in a similar way. And I said I'm going to close in this manner. John 20:31. John records and says, "These have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have" what? "Eternal life." Now, I'm just going to say, I don't know you guys here. I know a few. But sitting in that pew will not get you to heaven. Being a member of this church will not get you to heaven. Giving to the offering will not get you to heaven. Teaching a Sunday school class or singing in the choir will not get you to heaven. My very, very brief testimony, I was raised in a church. I was baptized around the age of 11. When they gave me the piece of paper to fill out to be baptized, there was a question on there. "Give your testimony. How were you saved?" I went up to my sister and I asked her, "What does this mean?" And she said, "Well, this is what it means." And she gave her testimony. On that piece of paper, I wrote her testimony, not mine. I was baptized at the age of 11. But at the age of 15, well, and before 15, I was memorizing verses. They had a plaque on the wall for every month of the year. Which teenager said the most verses, memorized the most scripture? They started that when I became a teenager. The first name was Stephen Jordan. The next name was Stephen Jordan. The next name was Stephen Jordan. At the age of 15, I heard the gospel message. And I know that is when I believed and received eternal life. So all that to say, you may have been here for 20 years, but if you haven't believed in Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven. And you don't know God as your Father. Jesus died for you. It's very simple. Trust him. Don't trust yourself. Trust him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for your word. We thank you. Through the Gospels, we clearly have a picture of what happened upon that cross, the agony, the suffering in the heart of Jesus Christ for both our spiritual and our physical needs. And Lord, we just are so blessed to be part of your family because of his blood, his death, and our faith in him. And I pray for anyone here that maybe still doesn't know Jesus Christ, that they will see the need and that they will trust in him today. In Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Let's stand together as we close in song. We're going to be singing our theme song, "I Love the Lord," from Psalm chapter 116. On your way out of the auditorium, please stop by and visit Stephen and Ginger and stay for the meal. Don't forget, we have a potluck. I love the Lord.
I
I love the Lord, I love the Lord, for he has heard my voice. I love the Lord, I love the Lord, for he has heard my voice. He's inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. I love the Lord. Let's do that one more time. I love the Lord, I love the Lord, for he has heard my voice. I love the Lord, I love the Lord, he has heard my voice. He's inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. I love the Lord. You are dismissed.